Okay, let's begin. To those of you who just joined us, welcome to today's conversation about life and social change in Central Asia. My name is Bermet Talant, and this talk is hosted by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. In Central Asia, power and wealth are often kept and passed down in a family, but the concept of blood ties goes beyond immediate and extended family members. Political alliances and influential clans are also organized around tribal or regional kinship that goes back centuries to the times when today's Central Asian nations were a group of separate tribes. These days, clan politics is blamed for being a driving force behind rampant nepotism, regional division, and wealth inequality in the region. But for ordinary people, these kinship-based networks are often a source of social cohesion and mutual support. Simple questions like, which part of the country are you from, or where is your family from, or what tribe do you belong to, allow the asking party to almost build a mini profile on another person's roots, any shared blood relations, and even character trait attributed to that particular tribe. Today I'm talking to Shalkar Nursiyitov, a political analyst from Kazakhstan, and Oksana Ismailbekova, a Kyrgyz anthropologist who is joining us via VPN from Tashkent. We're having some technical issues, but I hope we will resolve them. We are going to talk about the role of tribalism and kinship in the present and the future of these two Central Asian nations. Before we continue, if you have a question or a comment, you can press request in your Twitter mobile app to speak up and we'll bring you in. Or you can send a direct message to RFERL or reply to a tweet pinned in this space. Shalkar, I would like to start with you because I know very little about tribal and regional divisions in Kazakhstan. Could you explain to us briefly how they are organized and what they represent?
Hello, everyone. Bermet, thank you for having me. So I'm not a historian, but I like to highlight some several concepts related to three juices. So in Kazakhstan, we do have three juices. There is no consensus among historians on the background history of three juices, but there are several concepts. And one of the most popular one is that the names of juices reflect the chronology of the occurrence. According to this concept, the senior juice appeared first, and that's why it's named the senior juice. Then the middle and junior juices were formed, and that's why they're called the middle and junior juice. Mm-hmm. There's another concept which is supported by well-known historian Radik Timurgaliyev, who argues that this first concept, that as I mentioned, is not true. The middle juice appeared first, according to him. He says that the Kazakh Khanates subsequently rose on the basis of the middle Jews. He also draws attention to the fact that it were the Khans of the middle Jews who became the Khan for all Kazakh tribes. Mm-hmm. There's also another concept explaining the Jews appeared in a difficult time. This concept argues that the Kazakhs were forced to defend themselves from numerous enemies and therefore built the most convenient scheme for self-defense in the middle centuries. Mm-hmm. There's another concept which is supported by another well-known historian in Kazakhstan, Jaxlok Sabitov, who says that representatives of the senior Jews roamed in the upper reaches of the Sardaria River, the middle Jews and the middle reaches, and the younger Jews lived in the lower reaches of the Sardaria River. So he says that there is no hierarchical meanings of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So these are the main several concepts that we have in our scientific and public discourse.
Mm-hmm. So are there any stereotypes that exist about people from certain Jews or region?
Yes, we do have some stereotypes on three Jews. For example, it's believed that the representatives of the eldest Jews, they should lead the country. They should take their main political positions. in Kazakhstan. And for example, during the Soviet time, there is a practice that the first person in a state organization led by the representative of the eldest Jews, and other his deputies were appointed among representatives of the middle and the younger Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And these are also some stereotypes surrounding the younger Jews, that they tend to be more aggressive, they tend to protest all the time, especially over the past 30 years in Kazakhstan. And most of political protests actually took place in the western part of Kazakhstan, which is occupied by the tribes of the younger Jews.
Mm, okay. So speaking of protests in Western Kazakhstan, following the January unrest, there's been some analysis in media into the clan rivalry trying to explain the power struggle between former President Nazarbayev and his successor Tokayev. Both of them, to my knowledge, and please correct me, belong to different tribes within the elder Jews. Is the role of
that's correct.
Yes. Is the role of tribes in the formation of political clans overstated in media, or is it really a big factor?
Actually, it has been one of the main factors. As you know, Nazarbayev has ruled over the Kazakhstan over the past 20, almost 30 years, and he actually was removed from the power after the January events this year. And his clan actually, which is called the Shaprashta clan, has controlled big positions, influential positions in politics and business. And also, we do have a joke, actually. We call the representatives of Shaprashta clan as alumni of the Shamalgan School of Management. Shamalgan is the hometown of Nursultan Nazarbayev, former president of Kazakhstan. And he has built a network, a clan of political and business people who are mostly representing his own tribe, Shaprashta tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually, most of people in Kazakhstan are aware of this fact. And in politics, the president and his administration take into account what kinship division their candidates for example, for governors in regions belongs to. For example, while appointing a governor in Western Kazakhstan, for example, in Mangistau region, they always take into account what kinship division their candidate belongs to. In Mangistau region, they especially pay attention to appoint someone who represents the Adai tribe, which is the largest tribe in Mangistau region.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's an unwritten law, unwritten rule. For example, we have a political position which is called state secretary, which functions is different from the state secretary of the United States. So over the past several years, the state secretary of Kazakhstan has been appointed among, has been occupied, this position has been occupied by representatives of the younger Jews. For example, currently the incumbent Yerlan Karin represents the Adai tribe, and his before Yerlan Karin, Kurumbek Kusherbayev was the state secretary of Kazakhstan. He also represents a tribe which belongs to the younger Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a other regions of Kazakhstan, for example, in South Kazakhstan, the presidential administration takes into account the fact that in South Kazakhstan, two main tribes, Dulats and Kongrats, dominate in the region. So that's why they try to appoint someone who belongs to Kongrats or Dulats. So in politics, actually, kinship division plays a great role in Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this kind of tribal rivalry differs on a local and national levels in politics.
For now, we don't have elections for governors, but we do have elections for village akims, village mayors. In most of the villages, there are a couple of main tribes who dominate in those villages. If you look at some data, we see that the representative of the majority actually wins the elections. But it doesn't mean that all the time he or she can win the elections. It's not a scientific finding, but I recently heard a story from a friend of mine who lives in Karaganda region. He said that one of the villages in Karaganda, they had an election for village Akim, and the winner was the one who represented the tribe who are majority in that village. And after a couple of years, representatives of that tribe were disappointed with the Akim, with the mayor. And they decided that in the next election, they will vote for someone who has a vision to improve lives of these villagers.
Mm-hmm.
They decided that kinship ties is not important for them. They decided that they need someone who can actually solve their problems. So in politics, somehow people, by getting gaining experience in elections, can actually, in my view, overcome with tribalism, political tribalism, at local levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But not the national one, I guess. It's too hard.
Unfortunately, for now, we cannot say that at national level we can deal with tribalism. I don't see any positive signs for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So before we continue with you, I just want to quickly remind that to our listeners that if you'd like to ask a question or if you have an opinion on the subject that we're discussing today, you can indicate that you want to speak by pressing the button in Twitter Spaces on pressing the request button on your Twitter Spaces, or you can send us a direct message to @RFERL or reply to a tweet pinned in this Spaces. So Shalkar, outside of the politics, how do these tribal identities and Rus kinships, what role do they play in everyday life of the Kazakh society?
In our culture, Kazakh people usually, when they meet someone, they actually ask their names, and also they ask the Jews, but it's common among elder people. From my experience, I can say that among the younger generation, it's not so popular to ask someone's tribe, kinship division. But I had an experience in 2019. I was born and raised in a village located in South Kazakhstan region, which was renamed as Turkestan region in 2019. So after after the high school, I moved to Almaty to study at Al-Farabi Kazakh National University. And I used to visit my hometown twice a year. And so in 2019, I attended an event in Turkestan City, the center of Turkestan region.
Mm-hmm.
And at the event, I was asked by another participant if I belong to KT or DT? First, I didn't get his question. He asked me, don't pretend that I didn't understand his question. In fact, I didn't understand what he meant. So I asked him to explain what KT and DT stand for. Mm-hmm. Then he explained that KT stands for Kongrats, DT stands for Dulats.
Okay, that doesn't mean much to us, to be honest. So these are like two tribes,
yes,
right?
Two tribes, yeah, Kongrats and Dulats are the main tribes in South Kazakhstan region. Despite the fact that I was born and raised in South Kazakhstan region, I've never been asked that question before. So I was surprised, and then I asked my relatives, parents, and they said, yes, so in South Kazakhstan region, people usually are divided into two camps, Kongrats and Dulats. Mm-hmm. But myself, I hadn't noticed it until I was asked that question. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, in Kazakhstan, regional governors are appointed by the presidential administration. When they consider candidates for the governor, they actually look for governors among representatives of those two tribes.
Mm-hmm. So I guess your kind of tribal belonging is not a big part of your identity.
For me, yes, because I left my village when I was 17. Since then, I have lived in Almaty. I visit my parents, but I don't see kinship division as much as important for my career, for my everyday life. For me, citizenship is a main thing to consider myself as a citizen of Kazakhstan. In Kazakhstan, we have also Turtan Jews, fourth Jews, actually, who composed of non-ethnic Kazakhs. For instance, yesterday I met in Almaty a man called Max, a Russian guy from Karaganda City. And we had a conversation on different topics, on the recent referendum held in Kazakhstan, on the war in Ukraine, and so on. And he said that I am a Kazakh. He didn't say that he's Kazakhstani. He said, I am a Kazakh with a Russian origin. And he said, we represent Turtan Jews. And it was a guy from Karaganda City, which is actually dominated by Russians. So he said, "Bärimiz Kazakhpız goy." We are all in Kazakhs in Kazakh language.
Mm-hmm. And so he spoke in Kazakh language with you.
Yep, he spoke with me in Kazakh.
Fascinating.
And it was kind of surprising for me because he used this phrase when he was given his view on the war in Ukraine. So he said, "I'm a Russian, but I am a Kazakh." When he was giving his answer on my question on the war in Ukraine. And he actually was talking Russian, then he started talking in Kazakh. So it was kind of surprising for me because usually Russians or other Slavic representatives who were born and raised in South Kazakhstan region, they can speak Kazakh. But this guy was from Karaganda, from the Karaganda region, and he surprised me. So I don't say that I'm not saying that it's common in Kazakhstan, but it was kind of surprising for me that we do have some citizens who actually consider themselves as part of Turtan Jews, fourth Jews.
This is interesting. Do you think that over time, the importance of which Jews you belong to will fade?
Actually, yes, especially in politics. So if you want to make successful career in politics, especially at the national level. So it's very important to be in the right time, the right place, also to be be representative of the right tribe, because
so it's not going to fade, at least in politics.
In politics, it's very important.
Okay,
it's very important. But at everyday life in business, usually businessmen look for like-minded people. They look for someone who is honest. They actually less pay attention to the kinship division. We do have oligarchs who actually have close ties with representatives of the political elite. So usually they are the representatives of the same tribe, oligarchs and the influential political actors. So in Kazakhstan, unfortunately, we still have this fact.
Okay, so if you want to make it in politics, then you have to belong to the right tribe.
Unfortunately, for now, yes. But I'm very hopeful that when we have elections for governors, when we have fair and open elections for Maslahats, local parliament, for the national parliament, for presidential office, I believe that our people will gain experience in politics by participating in elections, by casting ballots for candidates who represents their interests as citizens. So I believe that we must have more elections, more opportunity to feel ourselves as citizens, not representatives of a certain tribe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, our second speaker from Kyrgyzstan, Oksana Ismailbekova, has not been able to join this Twitter space. She's in Uzbekistan, where Twitter is still blocked. And
Bermed. Bermed.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Hello.
So, sorry, we have a question coming in. What are the most common myths about tribal divisions in your country?
Can you repeat, please, the question?
He
didn't hear the first part. Mm-hmm.
So it's a question from one of our listeners just sent to us. What are the most common myths about tribal divisions in your country?
Especially outsiders, foreigners, they consider Kazakhstan, tribalism and clan in Kazakhstan as clans and tribalism in other parts of the world, in Central Asia, in particular in Kazakhstan. Tribalism plays a great role in politics and business, but in daily life, people are not concerned about kinship division. They consider this question when they getting to marry, because it's very important to marry someone who are not belong to your tribe. Most of the people in Kazakhstan can recite the seven generations, in most part, especially in cities, kinship division, it's not important for daily life. In villages, in rural areas, yes, people tend to divide people based on their tribes, but because of capitalism, because of new social rules, because of social media, because of news consumption, people are getting, in my view, less concerned about about the tribalism. But when it comes to resources, for example, in South Kazakhstan region, there's a shortage of water for agriculture. People, actually farmers fight for the access to the water, and in some villages, representatives of the certain tribes control the water resources, and they fight with others. In this case, I think that we should consider this kind of fights not as because of the kinship division, because of fight for the economic resource. So again, in my view, there is no open clan rivalry in daily life, but there is a rivalry among ambitious and influential individuals in politics and business, representing different clans who are hungry for power and wealth. Usually, politicians and oligarchs build alliances with those who represent the same tribe.
Okay, got it. We have a volunteer. I don't know, with a question or with a comment. Is Atay Minwarov, who was a speaker once on this Twitter space. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you, Birnet and Shalkar, for the very interesting discussion about tribalism in our country. Before I ask a question, I'd like to add a brief, quick remark about just Shalkar mentioned about the perceptions of the tribal identities. I remember back in 2019, we did a research in with regards to tribal and religious and ethnic and civic identities. So we revealed that there were differences between age groups. Shalkar was right to point to the fact that young people are not actually so tribal identity is not as popular as, is not as important as for those belonging to the elder generation. So just a comment to back up his statement. So I'd like to ask a question, Shalkar. Do you think that, as we all Kazakh citizens know, President Tokayev comes from a Jalayir tribe, which is part of Senior Zhuz? Do you think that with the new era of Tokayev presidency, would you say that Shaprashte influence, the influence of Shaprashte tribe, will be getting weaker and weaker, and the power will be taken over by Jalayir people, and Tokayev will concentrate his power around people mostly made up of Jalayir people? Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Satay, for your question. In my view, Shaprashte clan is not just comprised of representative tribes of Shaprashte. It actually includes other Kazakhs who belong to another different tribes. So Shaprashte clan is very big. It has it's very influential in Kazakhstan so far. And I'm sure that President Tokayev and his team are very aware of this fact. And they try to actually, they are very interested in my view, in making them weaker and weaker, as you said. And Tokayev's close allies are also representatives of the Jalayir tribe, to which Tokayev belongs. So, for example, the former governor of the Almaty region, Kanat Bozumbayev, he is another influential representative of the Jalayir tribe. He used to be Tokayev's assistant when he was 29, I guess, and he was a vice minister of energy in Tokayev's cabinet in 2001 or 2002. So I believe that his kinship division, his kinship ties to Tokayev was one of the very important factors in making him very successful in politics. So I don't know another influential representative of the Jalayir tribe for now, but I believe that Tokayev considers himself not only representative of the Jalayir tribe, also the most successful diplomat in Kazakhstan's history. So he's very, if you look at his team, you see that he relies on diplomats, politicians who come from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So he relies for those who represent his political background. In my view, Tokayev's clan will be built among those influential and successful diplomats, and also the ones who represent the Jalayir tribe. And also, we don't have to forget that there's a lot of churches, who are unhappy with the Shaprashtar clan. They might also join the Tokayev's clan. So we might have a different Tokayev's clan, which are not limited to the tribal division.
Fascinating. Sounds better than Game of Thrones. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up this space for today. Thanks to Shalkar Nursiyitov from Kazakhstan. We definitely learned something today. And we're sorry that Oksana Ismailbekova was not able to join us. Thanks to our listeners and to RFERL for hosting today's space. Your feedback is very important to us. Please help us improve this series by sending your suggestions or ideas for topics you'd like to hear about to @RFERL, or you can DM me. Have a good day.